Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Friday. Thanks for being with us. John McClain down in Houston will jump on board with us today. One of the leading voices in Houston sports, John McClain, will jump on board. We'll talk about the Cardinals game on Sunday. Brock Osweiler, Jalen Strong. We'll probably even work a little Kyle Allen in on that, too, over at the University of Houston. There's a lot of angles around Arizona sports that are going on over in Houston. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com is our website. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Great to be on board on both platforms. Our television show, Fox Sports Arizona's Brad Sesmat Football AZ, is Tuesday and Wednesdays during the week. Next week, Ty Detmer will be one of the guests on the show, among others, as BYU plays U of A. That's next week. We'll have Goody at the Movies today. And what does Bill want to talk to us about today, Eric? If I read the email, I didn't read the email. Is there you don't need to shake your head about it. It's Friday. Come on. I'm in football mode here.
I send you the email for a reason.
Yeah, I know. I'm from the home base today. So
for you to read the emails.
Well, I might get around to it. We've got the moat and the crocodiles and all that stuff. The drawbridge is up here at the Palatial Sesmat Estate.
Well, I mean, you're going to have to talk to him about Ryan Lochte because that's been the theme of talking to Goody more than movies in the last, three weeks?
I'm kind of done with that other than the fact that now Lochte's been charged and should he go back down there or not?
Well, should he? Does he have a choice?
He does have a choice. He doesn't have to go, from my understanding. He doesn't have to go. They could, I suppose, come up here and go after him, but that's not going to happen.
I don't think so.
No. I'm being facetious about that. I can't do Lochte again with him. The best story today, okay, there's a couple of them. In the Valley, there's a couple good stories today. One of them involves the baseball team that stinks, but a very good player is coming back. The other is one of our sports that's just kind of sort of there, that never really gets much attention, that tries to find its way when it's summertime, and it's not the Mercury, it's the Rattlers. So the Rattlers today, and the Rattlers have a very, very diehard base, and they've had terrific success, and today is the Arena Bowl. Now, if this were the Super Bowl being played today, we would be doing our show from said city of said Super Bowl around said Cardinal team. The Rattlers are something to do in the middle of summer with players that get paid very little, that leave their bodies literally in tatters on the field. At times, they get looked at by the NFL because the NFL needs players, and occasionally, one of those players will break through and make it from the Arena League all the way up. Today, the Rattlers are playing. Eric, you're going to this one? Is that right?
I am. I'm going as a fan this afternoon. It's not even tonight, Brad. It's 4 o'clock in Glendale. Thanks, ESPN.
4 o'clock in Glendale.
Yep.
And they're not playing downtown.
Because there's a Mercury game.
Mercury game. So, you know, if I'm Ron Schertz, the owner of the Rattlers, and this goes well over in Glendale, I don't know. I mean, he's got a partnership with the Suns already down there. So I can't imagine that he would pull out of downtown. He and Robert Sarver do a lot of business together. So this is just one of those what are we going to do moments. They're playing Ron Jaworski's team, the Philadelphia Soul. And I've got there's some stuff around the Rattlers because I did their games for 3 years. And I traveled on planes with these guys for 3 years. And it's pretty funny some of the stuff that goes on doing Rattlers for 3 years. I've done some things in my career that I look back on. It sounds old guy because I still have great things ahead of me and us. But doing the Rattlers play-by-play, Jerry Colangelo called me when I first got into town. He said, why don't you do the Rattlers? I did the Rattlers. Then he said, did you ever do the Mercury? So I was the first voice, the Mercury. I did the Diamondbacks for a year, just like 80 of their games. I've been a part of the play-by-play on college fronts. Did some NFL color analyst work, believe it or not, for the Chargers broadcast for 4 years. So, you know, I've done a lot of things. And the Rattlers, there's a few stories around the Rattlers that if I put them in the book, and I've talked about this book for 5 years, but I find that there's still more chapters to this book. So I haven't put them all out there yet. Some of the stuff's fun, and I'll get to it a little bit later on after John McClain. In terms of the sports news of the day, outside of the Rattlers, So the Cardinal game is Sunday afternoon at Houston. And I've already gone through the, you know, I'm not going to go through the tired diatribe of I don't care and all that stuff. So the game's at 1 o'clock. If you want to watch it, knock yourself out. What an entertaining story the Dallas Cowboys are. I mean, if we're talking about the story of the day in sports, like A.J. Pollock's coming back for the Diamondbacks tonight. That's a very good local story. He's been a missing link to them this year on the field without question. It's not why they're so bad, but he's coming back. It's a nice story. But it doesn't resonate nearly as much as the Dallas Cowboys do. Those of you that have watched, heard through the years, I've been in the Valley doing my thing. You know, I think the Cowboy fans are the biggest bunch of bandwagon jumpers that there's ever been around, that their owner's not good. He has a lot of power, that their team is always supposed to be better than it is. And the Cowboy fans are always insufferable about it. So when I see a story that involves the Cowboys, and look, I would be doing this story if it involved the Cleveland Browns, but the fact that it's the Cowboys, it doesn't get much better than this. I've said this many times through the years, you cannot script stories like the one I'm about to tell you that happened around the NFL. And if you're a Cowboy fan, you will excuse this away. You will try to find some way, somehow, rather than say, I can't believe my team can be so dumb. So that as the backdrop, here's the story of the day. Dallas Cowboy owner, general manager, Jerry Jones, not pleased to see a video of Ezekiel Elliott at a marijuana dispensary hours before the rookie running back was set to make his preseason debut. In the video, and this was in Seattle, point of reference here, it is legal to have marijuana in Washington, but it's the day of a game. In the video, a man that TMZ reports to be Elliott was seen in Urban Legends, not Urban, Herban. Of course it is. H-E-R-B-A-N, Urban Legends in Seattle. Now, he was not shown making any purchases. So after the game against Seattle was finished, quote Jerry Jones, I think that in the end itself, the reason we're talking about is in a way of a learning process. It's always a learning process with the Cowboys, isn't it? Greg Hardy was a learning process. Quote, it's not good. It's just not good. It's just not good. Now, for those of you that want to say, well, pot's legal in the state of Washington, just so you remember, marijuana remains a banned substance in the NFL, though its recreational use is legal in the state of Washington. Ezekiel Elliott carried the ball 7 times for 48 yards in the first quarter. Then he asked for a bag of Doritos. Now, it's too easy to do this sort of stuff. So, look, when you've had a situation like Ezekiel Elliott, he's still not cleared from the domestic violence issue in the offseason. Okay? What he did was legal. I got it. There are 3 Cowboys that are in drug trouble. Put all that stuff aside and just say, it's game day, and how are you killing time? By walking into Urban Legends in Seattle. Again, you can't script this stuff. And then Tony Romo gets hurt again last night. Like, for the Tony Romo defenders, if you cannot put the word fragile alongside of Tony Romo, then you're just not being realistic. And remember, the Cowboys were 0-11. That's like zero. That's like nothing. No wins last year without Tony Romo. So today in Dallas, because they're Dallas, they push panic buttons. Geno Smith's name has come up because Dak Prescott looked really good last night against guys that are backups and won't even make it into the league. So if Tony Romo, and so far, remember Tony Romo, 2 different back surgeries. He's had 2 of them. Gets hurt again last night. Far more entertaining than what are the Cardinals going to do with DJ Humphreys and what's going to happen with the Cardinals on the defensive side of the football with Robert Kimdichie. Those are important angles. I get it. But let's be honest. This is a Cardinals team that is looking at games in late January and 1st of February. The Cowboys never look at those games. Go look at your playoff record here in the last 10 years, Cowboy fan, and tell me if I'm wrong. Knock yourself out. Your tail back is getting it done at urban legends on game day. Whew. Man. And the Joey Bosa story. I mean, the Chargers are just completely, completely out of their minds on this, as is the both sides. You look at the story and say, where are you going here? Both sides. So we're going to talk about the Cardinals-Texans game and a little bit of UH on the other side with John McClain from Houston. He'll join us next, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So Sunday for the Cardinals, it's a matter of DJ Humphreys and Robert Kendiche. These are not headline stories, but in a roundabout way through the course of a long NFL season, they are. Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We have our Fox Sports Arizona television show, Brad Sussmat Football AZ. Big part of that this week with Charles Barkley and Larry Fitzgerald. Pleasure now to have one of the leading voices around the National Football League, former president of the Pro Football Writers of America. He covers the Texans for the Houston Chronicle and is somebody that has been a part of the National Football League for many, many years. Leading voice here around the Texans and the NFL, that would be John McClain. What's the vibe in Houston, John, about the Texans this season? Let's just start with a very basic question and the expectations.
They've won the division 3 of the last 5 years. They've had winning records 4 of the last 5, but they've been held back because they didn't have a quarterback. And they knew they didn't have a quarterback. Last year with Brian Hoyer, Ryan Mallett, T.J. Yates, and Brandon Whedon, they got 28 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. That's a damn good ratio for quarterbacks like that. Now, if they'd love for Brock Osweiler to have 28 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, right now people are fired up about the Texans, but they're worried about Osweiler. They're worried about an offense that's going to have 5 new starters. They're worried about an offensive line that has injuries almost across the board. The defense, 3rd in the league last year, 10 of 11 starters back. So they're excited, but Brock is the unknown. So that's what they're keeping their fingers crossed about, Brock and his progress with Bill O'Brien. And their offensive coordinator, George Godsey, who have done a really good job of coaching quarterbacks in these 2 9-7 seasons.
John, from your view, what do you see out of Brock Osweiler so far? Is there concern from what you've seen?
No, there's always concern because everything's on paper except these 2 preseason games. Bill O'Brien, who I think is an excellent quarterback coach based on what I've seen 2 seasons and what I just said about last year's quarterback is a good example. They've had 9 and started 8 in 2 seasons. DeAndre Hopkins has never had a season in which he had fewer than 3 starting quarterbacks, and yes, he's gotten better each season. And what Bill O'Brien wants from his quarterback, he wants a leader. He wants a guy that's smart, makes good decisions at the line of scrimmage where he has a lot of freedom in a complicated system, and then he wants the quarterback to make good decisions with the ball. And that means if there's not a guy open, throw it away, live for another play. Take the sack. Do not turn it over. And they only had 12 last year with those 4 starters. So they've done a good job of that. And what impressed them about Osweiler immediately was right after he signed for $37 guaranteed, $18 million a year, he came back out there to Arizona State and he brought all his receivers and quarterbacks for a week of their own little mini camp in which Brock paid for everything, hotel, food, working out, lifting weights. It was a bonding session, but also in which they could help him learn the system. He had a foundation in this system, which came from New England, because when he went to Denver, Adam Gase used the system put in by Josh McDaniels, who had also come from New England. So it wasn't foreign to him. And he's done so many things for the leadership role. A good example was when the Broncos got their Super Bowl rings. He was invited. He didn't go. A lot of people in the media up there blasted him. But the reason he didn't go is he had rented suites at Energy Stadium because he took 60 of his teammates and wives to a Copa America Mexico soccer match with 71,000 people. And he also says he moved real close to the stadium. And he says, my door is open to anybody, anytime. Teammates can drop by and he hosts them for dinner. So he's done all those things in which they respect how hard he works, how early he gets there, how late he stays. And he has worked hard on his accuracy. He held the ball too long, according to people in Denver. Everything here is designed to get rid of the ball in 3 seconds. When he talks to the media, he's outstanding. Everything, I told him, everything you say is insightful and informative. And some people say, well, he's trying too hard. I said, well, we rip other players because they don't try. Now you got a guy who tries hard and people are being negative toward him. But it's going to be an interesting season. One of the reasons they wanted him is they saw him in the last two preseasons. They saw him in practice 2 years ago. So they had much more of a body of work other than 7 starts for the Broncos last season.
John McClain with us from Houston, Houston Chronicle, and, of course, several great parts of John, the former president of the Pro Football Writers of America and a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame Selection Committee, and on and on. How much Peyton Manning influence was put on Brock Osweiler? None, a lot, a little. Can you gauge? What do you see?
He watched Peyton for 4 years, and Peyton worked hard to help him. And one of the things that I like, in June, the Manning Family Passing Academy in Louisiana, one of our writers went over to interview Peyton, and Peyton said, I have 4 teams I'm going to follow this year: Denver, Indianapolis, the Giants, and Houston. And our guy said, why Houston? He said, because I want to watch Brock. Brock and I are friends. We worked together for 4 years. I think he's going to be good. I want to watch his progress. So I thought that was very interesting. They told me last year, he stayed later than Peyton, and they didn't think anybody stayed later than Peyton. Here, Brock started at 5:30 a.m. Meeting started at 6:30. He got to jump on everybody, and he was the last one to leave. And they respect that, and they said he got that work ethic behind the scenes from Peyton. Well, maybe he did. Maybe he's always had it. It doesn't mean he got everything from Peyton, but there was a lot of talk about he came here because he was mad at getting benched in the last regular season game against San Diego. He told me in a big story I did before the season, he knew they were going to bring Peyton back at some point. Peyton was healthy. You can't have a healthy Peyton Manning on the bench when you're trying to win a Super Bowl. So a play that was not his fault at all, a fumble by a running back that he had nothing to do with, they pulled him. They said they were just trying to get some spark. Fact is, there was the time to put Peyton back in. John Elway said in February at the Indianapolis Scouting Combine, we could not have won the Super Bowl without Brock. And when they thought they were going to get him back, Elway said nothing but great things about him, including he can make every throw. He's a winner. He's a leader. Now that he's been gone, Elway's been taking shots at him like some teenager whose girlfriend broke up with him.
Jalen Strong, let's shift gears. Jalen was here at Arizona State, put up eye-popping numbers, looked like some rough patches for him in Houston. Where's Jalen Strong at?
Jalen was the most improved player, offensive player in off-season program, the most improved player in training camp. And I kind of think getting busted for pot out there was good for him. And last year, if you ask Indianapolis, they would have thought he was all pro. He had 3 touchdown catches, all against the Colts. And he came on right at the end of the year. And the thing for him was, when you're a junior college player and you go to a major college and leave after 1 year, or you leave after your junior year, you haven't had much time at that school against big-time competition. And he didn't have a lot of experience at ASU. So he had to come in and not just get the mental part of football down, but the physical part as well. But I'll be surprised if he doesn't have a good season. And by that, because they got a lot of good receivers, have at least 50 catchers and 5 or 6 touchdowns.
Can he be an impact breakout guy, John, in your opinion? In
I don't
league?
Think so, because they've got DeAndre Hopkins, and they also want to run the ball a lot. 2 years ago, they were 5th in rushing, and they ran more than any team. That's their philosophy now. They want Brock to manage the game, but they believe if you run the ball and you run it consistently well, you keep the other team on the bench, you keep your defense fresh, nothing bad comes from it. And so I think they'll run a lot. They'll have Hopkins. Will Fuller, the other starter, their number one pick, has been really good in training camp. and preseason. So I think Jalen will be the first receiver off the bench playing the slot. At some point, they'll play four with rookie Braxton Miller, the other slot receiver. So as far as a breakout, if like 50 catches and five or six touchdowns, I think that would be good for him. But I don't see him up at around 80 or 90, knowing the offensive philosophy they have.
On Sunday, we know Watt's not going to play. How much are the starters going to go, in particular Osweiler, if any?
I think Brock played. I think they'll play him into the third quarter. A lot of it depends on how he does. You know, if the Cardinals have him going three and out a lot, forced turnovers, he'll play more. This is the last time he gets to play before they open the season against the Bears. In the first preseason game, they beat San Francisco, but he was 4 of 7 for 27 yards, looked uncomfortable because their offensive line is a mess because of injuries. He didn't look comfortable because he was getting rushed a lot. This past game, he was so much better. People feel better. Unfortunately, after a quarter and a half of the first preseason game, a large segment of fans and media here knew he was a bust and Tom Savage should be the starter. Now, of course, they're back on the Brock bandwagon, and they want him to improve on that. He threw a red zone interception from the 3-yard line. He said, "I will never make that throw again." And so they're eager to see him against a Super Bowl contender with a defense like the Cardinals have.
Hey, before I go, now I don't know how close you follow UH on a daily basis, but Kyle Allen was here. He went to Texas A&M. I know he's sitting out this year. John, have you heard anything? And if you haven't, it's fine. Just wondering how that's working out for him over at UH.
Well, I've watched Kyle Allen a lot last year. I was at the first game in which he started, and Texas A&M beat Arizona State, of course. And I thought at the time A&M would win 10 games. They were physical. They were fast, and then they end up winning going 8-5 second year in a row. And the problem with Kyle Allen is when they signed Kyler Murray, who had never lost a game in high school and won 3 straight championships, and his father was a famous A&M quarterback, they promised that he would get to play in every game. Well, here you have Kyle, a pocket passer, and Murray, a runner, which is the worst thing you can have for offensive linemen, so they had no continuity at all. And then Allen got hurt, and I heard that he came back before he was supposed to come back. And this season will be a learning experience for him, but he's playing for a great coach in Tom Herman. Tom Herman coached those quarterbacks at Ohio State as the offensive coordinator when they won their national championship. Braxton Miller talks great things about him. Cardale Jones, Barrett, the current starter. So he's going to be playing for Herman. This is a learning experience. He'll be so much better off than he was last year.
Good stuff, John. I appreciate your time and your insight from down in Houston. Thanks for the time.
Brad, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Have a nice day. There's John McClain, Houston Chronicle, one of the big names around the National Football League, member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame selection committee, former president of the Pro Football Writers of America, and somebody you should follow on Twitter, John McClain, at McClain_on_NFL. 35 years has been getting it done. Good stuff there. We have Goody in about 10 minutes, Goody at the Movies. I'm going to talk about Joey Bosa on the other side, some college football. The season gets started tonight, actually. And a few other things on my mind. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Plenty of content up on our website right now if you want to check it out. And, of course, Season 2 of Brad Sismat, Football AZ, over on Fox Sports Arizona. Thanks for being with us. I get more people texting me about Lockheed today, and I just don't care anymore. I'm sure, Eric, you want me to jump back into Lockheed, but I'm just not. I think we've hit our – unless he gets on the plane and goes back down there, I've got to take a pass on it at this point. If you're looking, because I know he's trending again today. It's just, he's trending every day. That's the problem here. I'm just done with guys like that. I don't need it. Unless he goes on Dancing with the Star and busts his ankle. So then there's a story. Thanks again to John McClain. He was really good. I was thinking back on that interview. We crushed the Cowboys already. Joey Bosa. So when you're in this day and age in the National Football League and your agent or yourself, or both of you, are upset over the language in a contract on your signing bonus, I get that it's the business side, But now your parents have weighed in on the Chargers. This really smells, once again, like Eli Manning, which you're a Charger guy, Eric. I mean, that was and I covered that team for years. I covered the Spanoses. They are different in the way they do business. There's no question about it. But in a year when you need some momentum for a stadium, like, this is the absolute last thing that you should be doing right now, right?
I mean, I don't think even if they sign Joey Bosa, I still don't think the stadium has a chance to pass. That's just the reality of the people in San Diego. I don't have to tell you that. The people in San Diego want to spend that money on new freeways and other things, and the football team is flatlined, and let's be honest, they're the worst team in the AFC West this year. The Raiders are
flatlined. I don't know if they flatlined. Boy, you're just piling on.
Well, they have. Time. Can you
Philip Rivers?
When was the last time the Chargers made the playoffs?
It's been a while.
Yeah, around about the time the Suns made the playoffs.
It's been a while. It's they've also played in a dumpy stadium with an owner. They've had some injuries. Like, if I see Antonio Gates one more time, I think he's just going to be frozen in time. You know, like, what's he still doing out there playing? They've missed on players, quite a few players. But it's the Chargers. There is nothing else to do there, Eric, growing up there. There's nothing else to do. The Padres are fun to go to beach towel night when the late Tony Gwynn was playing. But come on, they're a train wreck. There is something about the Chargers. You can always bang out the Super Chargers song when they score a singular touchdown. I think just from a business side, how is it in 2016 a player and his agent are going to get into offset language and be offered 85% of the signing bonus, not accept that? Or is it the Chargers saying things that aren't true, as some of my friends over there in the media are saying, that the Chargers, once again, are being dishonest. Dishonest in the NFL? Stunning. Actually, professional sports? Really? It happens? Yeah. I just think that the whole feel over there is, let's just push reset and get this team out of here, unfortunately. Because I would love to see Bosa get signed. I'd love to see him play. But now you're into week three, and the stuff he has said, people in San Diego are not very forgiving. There's not many things to take their eye off of the football in this case.
Well, and I think if the Chargers' reputation of being cheap with draft picks, if it didn't go back 10, 12, 13, 15, 16 years of them shortchanging the rookie class, this would not be a huge story. But when you have that reputation, and then when you go public with your stance, and then now it's out in the media and everything is external instead of internal, you're going to have this storm of bad publicity. And like you said, no, it's horrible timing. They need a new stadium, because you know what the most disappointing part of the Chargers leaving is? There would be no more Super Bowls in San Diego, one of the most beautiful places in the country, in January, but no Super Bowl.
Well, that means we'll have to get them.
Which is fine.
Because they'll go to L.A.
or Vegas.
Or Vegas, yeah, with the Raiders, or back to the Bay Area. I think that's very likely. The college football season starts tonight. So you have Hawaii, and I've seen these stories about Hawaii traveling like 5,000 miles their first 3 weeks. They open with Cal, then they go to Michigan, then they've got another road game. I'm more interested to see Cal tonight, because Cal plays Arizona State in Tempe in late September. The fact that college football is here is awesome. I mean, this was not the right week to start Jimmy Vaccaro. Next week, we'll bring in the wisest of the wise guys when all the games get going, including ASU and U of A. But I will find my way to watch some of Hawaii and Cal. Yeah, it may sound like I don't have a life. No, I really want to see, without Jared Goff, what Cal looks like. Very good coach up there in a team that has a transfer quarterback who's come in, who ripped up ASU when they played him a couple of years ago. So that will be interesting to me. In terms of the Diamondbacks, so we've talked a lot about them this week because of all the stuff around the owner and Derek getting an extension, and next week is Stu gone, and what happens to La Russa. A.J. Pollock gets activated tonight. The Dodgers were almost no-hit last night by the Giants. We actually have a very compelling pennant race going on, or a race within the National League West between the Dodgers and the Giants. I shouldn't call it a pennant race. We just have a race, postseason race, between those two. And the Dodgers have the Cubs. The Giants have the Braves. This should be a weekend where the Giants make up ground. So I'm going to watch some of that too. That is interesting to me. Goody at the Movies is next. You got to have a life outside of sports. What does Bill see this coming weekend? Chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. That's next. I'm Brad Sismat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, it is Friday. It means you need to get out this weekend and have a life. There's lots of football to check out, lots of sports, but you need to get out and see a movie. We have Bill Goodykoontz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central. He is with us for Goody at the Movies. What's new, Bill?
Oh, a bunch of movies. I think there are like 11 or 12 movies that open this weekend.
How many did you do, though?
I only reviewed four, I think. And then I wrote three interviews. So that's decent work, right? Seven stories for one day, that's all right.
So do you have a limit of movies you can watch in 1 week? Like, do you get to 20 and it's I'm done, I'm checked out? What's the most you've reviewed in 1 week? The most movies you've ever seen in 1 week?
Probably 8 or 9 or something like that. I don't know, you know. Nothing too the thing that I have to remind people, my editors, my wife, my children, is that you got to watch them, and they last a couple of hours. And, you know, if you watch 8 or 9 of them, that's 16, 18 hours right there off the top.
And you can't walk out.
You can't walk out, and you can't skim them like you might a novel or something, you know. I've never walked out, and I had – people ask me that every now and then. Have you ever walked out of a movie? And sometimes you'll see a critic that walks out of a movie. I think they're paying me to watch it, no matter how bad it is, you know? I mean, it's my job. So they feel like they're making some statement by walking out, but I don't buy that.
Yeah, it sounds like a Diamondback fan. They're paying me to watch this. You know, I wish they could say that. Bad as they've been. All right, so we have three movies. Do you love one of these movies more than another? We have Morris from America. We have Don't Breathe. We have A Tale of Love and Darkness. Which one do you want to start with?
Well, and don't forget Hands of Stone, the Roberto Duran movie. The best movie of the week, and a really good movie, is Morris from America. And it's Craig Robinson, who's in The Office, and he's been in a lot of comedies and stuff like that. He's usually always funny. But he plays like a former soccer player who moves, he's recently widowed, and he and his 13-year-old son moved to Germany where he's going to coach a team. And there, as he puts it, we're the only brothers in Heidelberg. and he said, so whatever kind of fish out of water problems they would have are made more so because they're black. And his German student friends are about very stereotypical, or can treat him in stereotypical ways. So he's trying to figure out his life, and Craig Robinson is really good, trying to be a dad and trying to be his friend and trying to be like kind of a bad rapper. That's kind of funny. But it's just one of those movies that like sneaks up on you, and you're just, it's really nice. I mean, at the end of it, you're just kind of like, oh, that was really good. I love those kind of movies.
All right. So go see that. Don't Breathe. Tell me about Don't Breathe.
It's a horror movie. And it's really well done. It's the guy that made the remake of Evil Dead, so it's pretty brutal. But what's interesting about this is it sort of borrows from a lot of movies, but you don't know who really to root for, because the main people are this girl and these two guys who live in Detroit, and they basically specialize in home invasions. I mean, they're pretty good at it, because one of the kids, his dad runs a security company, so he can get the keys, and he can, you know, they can be in and out pretty quick, and they'll only steal a certain amount, because $10,000 or more is like grand larceny or something like that. I don't know. They hear tell of a guy who lives in an abandoned Detroit neighborhood who's got a bunch of money. He's a blind veteran, so they think this is going to be easy picking. It turns out it's not. He's there's a little more to him than they bargained for. So who do you root for? Do you root for them? Do you root for the blind veteran? And you think maybe you'd root for the blind veteran, and then it turns out maybe there's reasons not to root for him either. So it's sort of interesting in that way.
All right. So see this one. Yeah. You're not saying don't waste your time on either one of these.
No. I would definitely say see it. I would say that you got to like horror movies. You got to like this kind of gory horror movie. Not super gory, but somewhat. You got to like that stuff to like it. But if you do like that stuff, it's certainly good.
All right. A Tale of Love and Darkness. You talked to Natalie Portman. We went through that last week. And this was stories from her mother, right?
No, it's based on a book by this writer, Amos Oz. And she plays the mom. I guess what happened with the kid was he was around at the sort of the beginning of Israel. And his mom came out of Europe, and she was rich and everything, and now she's kind of poor and living in Palestine. And she's not very happy. She's kind of depressed. And what they do to sort of get over it is she tells her son stories. But it's good, but it's just so bleak and so slow. And I mean, she's a good director. She's got a lot of visual imagination and stuff. It looks pretty cool, but I would really like to see her do something a little more upbeat next time.
Bleak and slow.
They're probably not going to put that on the. They're not going to put that on the TV commercial, like Bleak and Slow, USA Today Network. I don't think that's going to be. That's probably not going to be part of the promotional campaign.
So I thought of you the other day. I started teaching this week, right? So yeah. I'm just doing this little hour plus class 2 days a week on it's advanced media sports, and we're talking about being right rather than being first, which seems so basic. We studied everything around Lochte last week, and you've had some time to digest all this stuff. And now Lochte, does he go back down there? He's been charged with providing a false police report at the gas station. Bill, you follow journalism very closely. If you had a big, broad, 10,000-foot view of Lochte, what would you come away with? The story.
I don't know anymore. I can't think of a story that's changed as much. And part of it is kind of that rush to judgment, that, as you're talking about. But I think that in any media era, that would have been the case. I mean, we kind of see this guy, oh, he's this privileged jerk. If you've ever seen 10 seconds of his reality show, you get kind of an idea of what the persona that he likes to put across. But I think that, we thought it was one thing, then we think it's another. Then we find out, well, maybe it's a little bit closer to that other thing than we thought, you know? And it's one of those things where, in fiction, they have the idea of the unreliable narrator. but eventually, in a book, some version of the truth finally comes out. You know, you kind of finally figure it out. I don't know what the version of the truth is in this. I don't think, Lochte has obviously not done himself or his teammates or, any great favors by his behavior. But I don't know. I mean, they're not banning him. There's some question as to what really happened there. I think it's just one of the, and it's good for a journalism class, particularly a sports media class. I mean, because it's just going to keep unfolding. But I don't think they're ever really going to sort out what happened. I mean, I don't think that either side is telling the whole truth. They're telling their versions of it. So, I just think this one's going to drag on.
The fact that he's going on Dancing with the Stars is the total rehab tour, right? Because then next he'll show up on the Today Show, and then, I'm sorry, he'll show up on Good Morning America because it's ABC, and then he'll show up over on The View, and then he'll show up over on Ellen, and by the time this is all washed out, he'll be endorsing mayonnaise or something within a year. Yep. I mean, he'll get some money.
He'll be an ESPN commentator.
Yeah, we're not right. He'll be able to find something.
Without question, I think I'd heard today that he's already getting some difference. He's not getting the sponsorships back that were pulled, but he's getting other ones. And I saw it, but you get a lot. I'm sure you get these. I can't even talk about it really in a public forum, but I got this release from a company that makes a very particular type of, what would you call it, sex tool. And they offered him the job to be their spokesman that he had so far declined.
Of course they did. I mean, there's stuff out there. He'd probably make millions off of it too. Whatever it is.
It was very specific.
Yeah. I'll leave it at that. That's a great ending point for you and I today. Thanks, Bill. See you later.
Thanks. Bye.
It was Bill Goody-Coons. Goody at the movies. I was going to ask him to forward me that email, but that just wouldn't be right. So I'm not going to do that. This weekend, so we have high school games tonight. Get on out to a high school game near you. We have the Rattlers tonight. Eric's going to go to the Rattlers. We have last weekend of no college or of without a huge slate of college football, I should say. We have the Hawaii-Cal game. And then, of course, Sunday, if you're really into it, you could watch the Chargers-Vikings at 10 a.m. on Fox and then watch the Texans and Cardinals at 1. Hey, honey, let's go watch two preseason games in a row. Wow, that sounds great. I'll get some wings. We'll invite people to come over. We'll have the full party for preseason football. But in all seriousness, we'll be able to talk about that and much more on Monday. Sports360AZ.com, that is our website. We have plenty of content up on our website right now. You can check it out at Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Very proud to do so. It's been 3.5 years now with AZ Central Sports as we continue to grow by leaps and bounds in our football show, Brad Sussmat Football AZ. Eric Sorensen gets it done day in and day out. Jared Nielsen just gets in the way and does his thing, and we appreciate all of you being with us as well.